I'd like you to turn in your New Testaments to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. While you're turning there, I will mention, I neglected to announce, that we're going to finish up our study of 1 Corinthians Sunday. Brad's going to be teaching the class in my absence. And there may not be enough material to finish the class with what's left in 1 Corinthians in our discussion. So if that's the case, then he's going to begin 2 Corinthians. Well, I wanted to make sure the material was ready, so the handouts for 2 Corinthians are actually in the back, in the foyer. And if you would like to take one this evening, you're certainly welcome to do that. If you don't, then they'll be available to you for Sunday. But I've been doing some study of 2 Corinthians in order to prepare the material. And I came across in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 what I think is a very interesting point made. You remember that when Moses came down from the mount, that his face, the visage, was something that the people could not look steadily at his face. And so a veil was put there. And there's a reference to that in verse 7. It's the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones. And again, I want you to understand, this is a contrast. So the description that he gives of the law as the ministry of death should not be construed as a criticism of the law, but rather that the law could not accomplish what is accomplished under the new covenant. So it's a contrast being made, showing the superior nature of the new covenant. That's the whole point of it. So he mentions it and refers to it as the ministry of death. It was written and engraved on stones. It was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance. Notice, he says, which glory was passing away. Even though his countenance was glorious, and this is used as an illustration concerning the glory of the old law, the point is, from the very beginning, it was passing away. That was, it was not to continue. There would be a time when it would be no more, not any longer in power. And he refers to that a little bit down in verse 12. He said, since we have hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses. So here's the contrast between what Paul was preaching, which is referred up in the earlier writings as the New Covenant. And he says here that the speech we have, we use great boldness, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. So he's using that image of Moses being veiled as the old law, and indicating again and again that is a covering in contrast to what is boldly or openly proclaimed, which is superior to the old. What was passing away, what now exists. That's the whole point. Of course, the book of Hebrews does the same exact thing. But notice the language that is used in verses 14 and following about this. Nothing more clearly stated. He said, their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. And when people start advocating that we keep the old, there is no more direct statement concerning the folly of that than that made by the Apostle Paul here. Even to this day, when you read the Old Testament, the veil remains, which blinds the mind. And the only way for there to be that understanding, that uncovering, is if you accept the concept of the Christ and the new covenant. So when you see that in verse 14, he says, their minds are blinded until this day. The same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, what this, again, is a contrast, because people will take those last few verses and they'll make it mean all sorts of peculiar things. But it's a very simple contrast. It's the contrast of the new covenant that the apostles were proclaiming and the transformative nature of that new covenant as contrasted with the covering and the loss of glory that was present with that which is passing away. What the Apostle Paul is telling them is, don't listen to the Judaizing teachers who want to keep you encumbered by that which is supposed to be done away with, that which is blinding them, that which is veiled. But instead, accept the uncovering, the glorious, the transformative gospel of Christ, which can transform us into God's image, into the image of our Lord. It's a wonderful expression, and I like the illustration. I can't wait to talk about it in more detail when we get into our study of 2 Corinthians. If you're here this evening, not a child of God, but you want to be transformed, such transformation is not found in the letter. It's not found in that old law. Not found in the law of Moses written on stone. What happens is through the preaching of the gospel of Christ, there is a transformation that occurs. An individual is born again. He becomes a babe, a newborn creature in Christ. And if you will repent of your sins and accept Christ as Lord, that can be your lot in life. That can be the response that will come as a result of you responding to the gospel of Christ. We offer you the opportunity this evening to be baptized, to have your sins washed away, rising to walk in newness of life. That can be accomplished through the gospel. If we can help you or assist any other, to answer the invitation call this evening, we extended this time. Would you come? While together we stand, while we sing.